Morning. Let's open to James again, chapter 5. James, chapter 5 in the New Testament. Verses 1 through 6. James, chapter 5, 1 through 6. Now listen, you, this is from the NIV. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who are not opposing you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we ask for wisdom and understanding. And Lord, we just want to connect with you and be in your presence. So Lord, we thank you for this morning. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So in James chapter 5, we're talking to the wealthy who have oppressed those under him or her. And this is James, as we found out this week. There's a lot of warnings. Yesterday we talked about warnings about our tongue. Now we're listening to warnings about our money. And Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, "Do not store up yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So there's this idea that Jesus is saying in Matthew 6, and what James is reemphasizing thing is this idea of hoarding wealth. Jesus is saying that if we treasure our treasures here on earth and do nothing with them in this life, then we won't have treasures in heaven. So it doesn't mean that you have to spend every dime that you have to feed the poor and needy. What he is saying is that we must not hoard for ourselves what God gives to us. The Bible talks about money a lot. And never does it ever condemn the fact that we have wealth or have money. But what it is talking about is what do you do with that money? And here we have a sort of, at least for me, a better understanding of what God wants us to do with money. And it's very clear that he's not asking us, he's condemning those who are hoarding their wealth at the end of their lives. And typically, that's what we do. We work hard and we try to save money for retirement. You know, that's a natural thing. We want to save money for emergencies, and that's great and wonderful. And then as you live life, or as you've lived life for a very long time, as you live to your 50s and 60s, and you realize that life is fragile and life is short and life is given by God, and our resources, our money are given by God, and in a moment's instance, your life is taken away from you, then you have a different perspective on money. And what a shame that it is that we've accumulated all of this wealth at the end of our lives, and our lives are gone, and then now this money, which could have been used for something to help the poor, is now hoarded and used up. You have to understand, in Middle Eastern culture, wealth was, in ancient days, wealth was measured in three main ways. It was grain and garments and gold. And so what James is condemning here is that the rich had so much food stored up in their bins, stored up in their silos, that it was rotting. And if you have that kind of imagery in your mind and understanding, then absolutely, most of us would be indignant. But now in modern day, we don't measure our wealth by grains in our silos, but by paper money or currency or even just a number in our accounts. And so we don't have that same idea, but what James is alluding to is back in Middle East ancient days, is that wealth was measured by grain and garments and gold. And so you can imagine if you had accumulated all of this food in your cupboards, and it's rotting because of time and because of the circumstances, it's rotting and being wasted. And then what do you have to do? You have to throw it out. When there's a whole culture, there's a whole society that could have used the grain and the food that you had. But we were so busy in trying to accumulate it that it's gone and wasted. And the same thing with clothes, that they, in their proverbial closets, had so many clothes that it began to be eaten by moths. And it's not like we use those clothes and we wear those things every day. I mean, even modern day, you look at our closets, and I wonder how many of those items of clothing that we actually wear. There's probably a large percentage that we haven't touched in years. If you're like me, you just wear the same thing every day. And sometimes I look at my closet, and it's funny, you know, you have like maybe 10, 15, 20, 30 shirts, and you're like, I have nothing to wear. You know, looking through, and you're sitting there for minutes, and you're like, man, I have nothing to wear this morning. I mean, it happens, and it's silly if you think about it, but it's true. That's what goes through your mind. And as in olden days, in ancient days, it was measured by that, and it would be a waste when there are people on the streets that have absolutely nothing to wear, and here the rich have all this to wear, and they have so many clothes that it just actually is eaten by moths and wasted. And same thing with their gold, the gold and silver, the most durable forms of wealth, and it has lost its luster. And so James is saying to these wealthy who are oppressing the poor, actively oppressing the poor, and as we'll look at the second half of that, of this passage, James is telling them that they better be ready to weep and wail, not because they had money, but because they hoarded it and took advantage of those who had less. And so wealth is not the problem. It was the misuse of wealth that is condemned. Randy Alcorn, an author and pastor, said that God prospers me not to raise my standard of living, but he prospers me to raise my standard of giving. That he doesn't prosper me to raise my standard of living, he prospers me to raise my standard of giving. If we would have that kind of perspective on our wealth and our resources, I think it would change our lives, and not only will it change our lives, we would live in consistency to what the scriptures are asking us. That God blesses us to be a blessing, not so that we can accumulate it for ourselves, but to serve others who are in need. I mean, you have to ask yourself in life, as we are moving up on the corporate ladder, is how much is enough? It's something that you'll have to ask yourself. And no matter how wealthy you are or how not wealthy you are, you will always ask that question. The issue of money is such a stronghold in the believer's life. Because you look at someone with a modest income, looking at someone with a wealthy income, and the wealthy is still feeling like, you know, we need a little bit more. I mean, I don't know anyone in this world that thinks that they have enough money. You know, it's always just a little bit more, just a little bit more. And even high-paid athletes who make, you know, millions and millions and millions, tens of millions of and 20 millions U.S. dollars a year, they still think they deserve more or need more, which is, you know, for the common person like us, it's like ridiculous. We have that kind of perspective. It's like, wow, you feel like you have more. Well, you could look at someone who's living in poverty, looking at us, and they're like, what? You feel like you need more? And if you have that perspective of maybe someone who's homeless, you know, I personally think, you know, obviously realize that compared to the world standards that I am wealthy, that we are all wealthy compared to the world standards. But I myself too feel like, oh man, you know, I wish I had a little bit more. But if you compare that to someone who's homeless and in poverty, looking at our situation, And if they were to hear our conversations and say, they would think that we're ridiculous. You think you need more? And so we have to ask ourselves, how much is enough? And so the issue is not the actual amounts that we have, it's what we do with it. And so God has prospered us not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. And so these people who had all of this wealth, they valued their wealth and their resources so highly that they had no need for God. They placed their faith in their resources and not from God. James uses these pictures of grain, garments, and gold as losing its value. And so when food rots, it loses its value. When clothes are moth-eaten, they lose its value. And when we hoard money, it loses its value and it's misused. I kind of thought about how gold and silver and the idea that the Bible says that it rusts and corrodes. And in reality, actually, gold, like real gold, shouldn't rust. It doesn't rust, and real silver doesn't rust. And so what James is actually alluding to is the loss of value of these metals and these precious gold. And so to stockpile all of our wealth demonstrates an insensitivity to priorities. It kind of demonstrates what our priorities are. It demonstrates that the priority is ourselves and not others. Once again, the Bible talks about investing and talks about, making a return on your investment. Of course, all these things. And there's nothing wrong with saving for emergencies and retirement and all that. But we have to understand that in our hearts, and you have to ask yourselves, honestly, in our hearts, who are we hoarding our money for or stockpiling our money for? Obviously, it's for us. But the Lord is trying to sort of change our perspective and change our mind about our money, change our attitudes about money. Once again, back to that line, that God doesn't prosper us to increase our standard of living. He prospers us to increase our standard of giving. And so James is just hating the insensitivity of these oppressive wealthy that fails to alleviate the needs of the unfortunate while hoarding wealth for selfish pleasure, for no purpose at all, while the poor and the hungry continue to its way. I remember talking to someone in our GIC class. I believe it's Tyler, and he gave an interesting insight on wealth in the future. He's saying many of us, we save money for the future. And it gives us this false illusion that we have more time. And so we save for retirement someplace down the future, many, many years from now. And with that money, we'll go travel, invest in something, bigger than ourselves. And it gives us this illusion that the more money we have, the more time we have. But if you talk to somebody who's in the hospital on their deathbeds, knowing that in a few months that they're going to die, their attitude is totally different because they know their time is short. When you know your time is short, your attitude towards your wealth and resources totally changes. When you know your time is short, your attitude becomes, I need to give stuff away. Right? I have all of these clothes that I'm not using. I need to give it away. I have, these resources, I needed to give it away. I have grandchildren, I need to give my money away. They realize that in a few months when they die, that none of this money that they've accumulated is going to go towards anything. And so now when you know that time is short, your attitude begins to be, I need to give stuff away. I need to give things away. I need to give it away, give it away, give it away now. Give it away. That was unintentional, by the way. But when you feel like you have a lot of time, you begin to accumulate and accumulate and accumulate, and your attitude is now reversed. It's all about accumulating for yourself, for yourself, for yourself, for yourself. And it's just an illusion, thinking that we have lots of time on this earth. The Bible talks about our life is like a mist, and you never know when it's going to go. And there's many stories of maybe loved ones who, you know, thought had a lot of time, and they're gone. And so I want us to sort of, based on James and what Scripture says about our money, to rethink our attitude of money. Now, I know what many of us are saying, including myself. Well, you know, I live paycheck to paycheck. I just don't have that much. You know, I don't have that much savings, so really I don't have that much to give, et cetera, et cetera. It really isn't about the amount. It's the attitude of the heart. As Jesus talked about the woman with two copper coins who put in the offering, and she gave, you know, everything that she had, it was about her heart and not about the amount. And I think that's what the Lord wants us to work on and deal with, regardless of how much money or resources that we have, is that we change our heart to not be hoarders of our money and wealth, but to be able to use it for the kingdom of God. Finally, it talks about in verse, let's look at verse 3, your gold and silver are corroded, their corrosion will testify you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mow the fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvester have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. Obviously, there's these workers, day wages, and you know, the wages for these workers were really small. They lived day to day, not even paycheck to paycheck or week to week or month to month. They lived day to day, and if they didn't get paid that day, they wouldn't be able to survive. And so, and apparently, these wealthy oppressed didn't even pay their wages. And there's this huge festival when it talks about mowed your fields, and obviously these estates would be huge, and they spent many hours mowing the fields, and they were not paid, and the employer didn't pay them, and so now he's saying this is a grave sin. The cries of the harvesters reach the ears of God. And then verse 5, you've lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You fatten yourselves in the day of slaughter, but you have condemned and murdered innocent men. This is the extreme that James is going towards in regards to how he feels about treating the poor and the oppressed. He's using legal terms. You have condemned and murdered. Obviously not literally, but this is what in essence you're doing. You're condemning and murdered innocent men who are not opposing you. So to take away these workers' sense of living is to deprive their employee wages of blood. That the Bible treats it as almost like murder, this injustice. And so this morning, I just want us to sort of meditate on this warning about our wealth and our attitudes of wealth and money. And it's a tough thing that we need the Holy Spirit to sort of allow Him to enter into our heart and wrestle with, you know, this idea of money. That may we loosen the grip of our resources. May we begin to use the resources and the blessings that God has given us, not to oppress the poor, but to bless them and to use it. I think this is a whole another idea or level of asset management, a biblical idea of asset management that we need to consider for our own personal lives. So let's bow our heads and let's pray and meditate on this. Lord, we just thank you for caring about the poor. And Lord, we just ask that you would speak to our hearts. For Lord, we want to live in accordance to your word. God, I pray that you would challenge our hearts and change the perspective of why we're even working. God, we know that it is you that has blessed us with a job and has blessed us with means to work. And Lord, as we've seen in our own experience, that could be taken away from us. And so Lord, we live by your grace. We live not by our resources, we live not by our money, but we live on faith and on the word of God. Lord, let it not be that when we reach the end of our lives, that we would have hoarded all of this wealth that will decay and be destroyed, and not use it to serve your people who are crying out. Father, we thank you for your blessings in our lives. In Jesus' name. Let's worship him this morning.
To Jesus.
Yes, Lord, we surrender every aspect of our lives to you. Lord, we lift them up to you. Lord, even in our struggle, God, Lord, may we live not by our flesh, but by the Spirit and by your word. God, change us and transform us, Lord. Lord, as we continue to fight and struggle against our flesh, God, we just surrender it all to you now. We lift it all to you. Lord, have your way. Thank you, Father. Speaking of pray and intercede for those who are struggling with cancer and are going through such incredible, difficult times because of it, let's just begin to lift them up in prayer and ask for healing. Let's ask the Lord to cancel the cancer, and let's ask the Lord to bring grace and mercy upon them. So let's lift them up and pray for them now. Pray for those who are sick, but they don't know the Lord. And so let's ask the Lord to open their eyes, to take the veil off of them. And let's pray that they would receive Christ. And let's lift them up in prayer now. Let's pray. Pray for those who are struggling with sickness and illness. Let's not forget them, and let's remember them in prayer and lift them up and ask the Lord to revive them and bring healing to their bodies and their hearts. So let's pray. Pray for those who are looking for jobs, and ask the Lord to open opportunities for them and help them make connections with people. So let's pray for them right now. Pray for our community, our mission focus, and let's lift up North Korea, South Korea, Japan. Let's pray for Chris and his family. Let's pray for Korea and just the future that God has for Korea. And let's pray for Japan. And let's lift up Pastor Sophia, who will be going soon. And so let's lift up these nations right now. Thank you. Let's pray for our SP Ministries, our IP Intercessory Team, our Well Prayer Team, and our Cascade Inner Healing Ministry. Let's ask the Lord to protect them from any arrows of the enemy, and ask the Lord to bless them and use them, give them wisdom, insight, and revelation. So let's lift up these three ministries. Pray for the men's and women's ministries. Ask the Lord to gather the men and gather the women to bless them in community. And so let's lift up men's and women's ministries. Let's pray for our SP Leadership Institute class, Eschatology, the End Times, and Matthew, who's leading it. So let's pray for this class, that there would be just a great discussion and great understanding. So let's pray for it. Pray for our outreaches that are going out today, for SP Lights in the Red Light District, and let's pray for our homie outreach to the homeless and to the poor. Ask the Lord to use our team to encourage and to bring light and hope. But let's also pray for those that we will be ministering to, that they would receive just incredible blessings from our team. So let's pray for them. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives and stirring our souls. And Father, we pray that that you would shine light into the midst of our hearts that may be darkened by our flesh. And Lord, we just want to live by your Spirit, God. Lord, we pray for those who are serving today and this week. Lord, would you be with them and bless them, God. We thank you that we have this opportunity to be with you. Lord, we thank you for your gift of love. And Lord, we just want to honor you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.